Welcome to episode 129 of Offbeat Tracks. Hi there.
Yes.
I'm Max.
I'm Danielle.
I'm not sure ever if I'm saying hello to you or to whoever's listening.
We're saying hello literally.
Throwing a hello into the ether.
Whenever I speak in any time, it's just to whoever's listening.
All right.
I'll just take it.
That works.
Mm-hmm.
Today we are talking about a Scottish dude who I see as kind of responsible for a revitalization in coolness of 80s music. His one album that he thrust upon the world in the early 2000s when nobody liked 80s music and was listening to
it
except
time.
For the two of us.
It was a weird time.
It was. So let's set the scene for 2004, right, before we actually talk about this guy. So Danielle and I are both in college.
Mm-hmm.
We both really love 80s music.
We do.
Everyone else hates 80s music.
Oh, yeah, Nickelback. Love it.
Yeah, just a lot of butt rock happening.
Give me more Hoobastank.
Southern hip hop kind of like, you know, and I guess like some poppy R&B stuff like Beyonce was kind of coming up then too. But there was just like not really a space in pop culture for people who liked really synthesized or like nerdy kind of new wavy synth pop music.
There was no retro anything.
It was still like we had not broken into the era that we're in now where individuality is praised, thank goodness. Conformity was king still very much in 2004, and liking retro stuff did not make you cool.
No, we were not cool.
Felt very alone. But then all of a sudden, in I think it was actually 2005, because it was 2004 in the UK, but I'm thinking of this as like my second year in college. So this would have been like 2005 into 2006.
Yes.
I see this article in, I'm pretty sure it was Pitchfork, if Pitchfork was around then, that was like, here's this album and talking, you know, celebrating 80s music. And I was like, what?
Well, and I think it was kind of happening in Europe already. Like that.
Yeah, the
U.S. took a while.
Preface that, yes. I was talking about U.S. pop culture.
Exactly.
But yes, Europe, sorry, thought that was clear.
Europe, y'all were with it.
Dance music never got uncool in Europe.
When Eric Prydz came out in 2003 with Call On Me, y'all were like, cool, I will call on you.
Yes.
And we were just like, I don't know, we're busy. I'll talk to you in a couple years.
Well, we meaning America.
Yes.
Danielle and I were very much on the Call On Me train.
No, we were
not
busy. We were never busy back then.
No.
But y'all were, apparently.
Yeah, so this album comes out of Scotland that this dude literally made in his bedroom and has all these samples of 80s tracks and not like... There were a couple that are like really notable songs, but he's really did some deep sea diving on some of these.
Absolutely.
And like it was like, oh, okay, 80s music is kind of cool. And people started like respected this album. And I really do think that it kind of led to this resurgence of people sort of respecting 80s music. And I think that was probably going to happen anyway, just considering like the age of people who grew up in the 80s. And now like the 80s are super cool again because all these people are like in their 40s. And anyway.
Also, let's just the return of the mashup. This, I think, is mashup becoming a huge...
Yes, mashups were, that was like the thing then.
Exactly.
It was like, wait, whoa, you can take the lyrics from this song and you can, or the vocal track from this song and put it over the music from this song, mind blown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was like totally the rise of the mashup in a large pop culture sense, in a burgeoning internet sense. Yeah, and Milo definitely cashed in on that too. So yeah, we're talking about a dude named Milo today. His real name is Miles McInnes, which is
so Scottish.
So Scottish, I love
it. Most Scottish name ever.
It is an extremely Scottish name, yes. So Milo was only in his mid-20s. He was like, you know, 25, 26 years old when he's working on this this album. He was from Broadford, which is in the Isle of Skye in Scotland. And he just started putting together this album. He was apparently some sort of an academician. It's very, very difficult to find any biographical information about Milo.
Yes.
He's kind of a mysterious guy.
Yeah, he like did a bunch. He tried to do a PhD.
But apparently he was an academician, and then he was like, nope, I want to do music. And he moved back to Scotland from wherever he had been studying abroad and starts working on this album.
Oh, also
literally
notable,
in his bedroom.
Notable thing from his Wikipedia page, for such a lack of real biographical knowledge, I feel like he wrote this himself, and he's so mad at Australia that he put this in.
Oh.
I will quote, he had no plans after high school and initially wanted to lay bricks in Australia, but was unable to obtain a visa.
Oh.
I feel like he wrote it himself, and of all the things he put in there, he was like, also, fuck you, Australia, still pissed, wanted to lay bricks.
Oh, yes, this album could have been from you.
Do you want to, like, you know, value blue-collar work? Guess not, Australia. Anyway.
Yes, I suppose I should preemptively slap a blue language warning on this, because particularly because of one of the songs... There are going to be a lot of F-bombs in this episode, so...
Oh, yeah.
If that's not your thing in advance, whatever. I don't know why you're listening to this show anyway, but fair warning. I think we have to do that because of Apple's regulations and whatnot. So there's going to be a little explicit tag on this one just because of that. So cool. That's why it's there. So Milo's first EP, after he's like been making these little tracks in his bedroom, comes out on the 1st of November in 2003 in the UK. And it was centered around the track Paris 400, which we'll get to later because it was that was actually on the album. But the track I want to talk about from this is Peach Melba, which did not make it to the US version of the CD, which is the one I was familiar with. This is so cool.
Like, I really...
So cool.
Like, it's... I don't know. I think of Milo or Milo. Is it Milo or Milo?
It's Milo.
See, it's like, I've always said Milo, but then I'm like, his name is Miles, so maybe it's Milo. And then maybe I'm just listening to the wrong people pronounce it.
Maybe, yeah, it could be that. And also, I remember, like, looking at a lot of, like, French coverage of the album, and any French person is going to look at this and say Milo.
Yeah.
So that's probably where I got it. That's why I'm saying Milo, and that's because that's just how I've heard his name.
But I usually say Milo, but I question whether that's right.
Both are probably correct, but go on.
Yeah, it's whatever. It's not his real name.
Yes, Peach Melba, please.
So, it's very mood synth. I think he's very mood synth.
Yes.
And this is very mood synth, and I think that's a big thing now, if you listen to a lot of people. It's, you know, not really lyrical, not really dancey.
As we're going to see, that's a lot of the tracks, especially on the second half of Destroy Rock and Roll, his album, are very moody like that.
Yes, it's mood synth to me, and it's very... I don't, had I known about this in 2003, I would have been so into it.
Oh, totally.
I would have been so hard into it.
I was so bummed that I actually didn't know about this track until much later because I bought the CD, the US version of the CD, back in the day. And like I said, this track was not on there. The US version of the CD is still my favorite version. I guess we can go on and get that out now, but because of the mixes that it includes, specifically of Destroy Rock and Roll, and because we also get Dr. Pressure, which is great. But we're going to get to all that. Anyway, the US version of the CD is the good one if you're going to hunt down a copy of this album, in my opinion. But it doesn't have Peach Melba. And Peach Melba is super cool. It is like definitely like the harbinger of what would be his 80s pop leanings when the album came out next year.
Absolutely.
I'm also going to be talking about a lot of the samples on this. So sorry if that kind of thing annoys you, but deal with it. The sample on this is from a Melba Moore song, which is where the title comes from. It comes from the Melba Moore song Falling, which I also did not know, but it's from 1986. And so introduced me to that great song, too. But yeah, love this, super 80s, and would be a taste of things to come. So the album comes out properly May 24th, 2004 in the UK, and it's called Destroy Rock and Roll, which actually does have a root. That title does come from somewhere. We'll get there. I did not know until researching this episode where that came from, but we're going to get there. It's kind of cool. Also worth noting, this album did not come out in the US until almost 2 years later. It came out on the 7th of February in 2006.
Wow. Okay.
So I probably heard it. I'm thinking that I probably heard it in the fall of 2005, because that's probably when they would have been pushing it to college radio, which is why I would have found it in the first place. So we're going to kind of go down these tracks here, because I love this album so much, and I basically think the entire thing is worth talking about. So Valley of the Dolls is the opener. This one to me always sort of sounds like, I think his music gets video gamey sometimes.
Okay.
This one to me is like a selection screen, like select your character screen, and you can see all the characters kind of like swaying back and forth a little bit while this plays.
That description is so you. I love it.
It's very Pilot Wings. I don't know. This it's a very Pilot Wings-esque track.
I'm calling it Journey Synth. It sounds like it's like his Autobahn to me. Like, you can just feel like just driving down the road. It's just kind of like a smooth
kind of go. It feels like a takeoff to me. It feels like...
You could do it in a plane, too.
Exactly. It feels like...
Yeah.
Or, yeah, I guess I'm using takeoff in the broader sense. But, yeah, it works in a plane, too. It's like, this is the start of the journey. And it's a perfect choice to open the
album.
It
is a very good opener.
It does, apparently... They have listed in the liner notes that this is... a sample of the Stu Phillips theme from the movie Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Okay.
Which I went back and listened to, and like, I don't really hear it, but he listed it as a sample, so I'm saying it.
Hmm.
But yeah, I love this track. Love it. Oh boy.
Sun worshiper?
Sun worshiper. Love sun worshiper.
Sounds like a sunset.
Yes, it sounds like a sunset. This is riding your bike to your friend's house at the end of summer,
mm-hmm.
right as the sun's going down.
Yeah.
I basically have a mood and a setting for every Milo song.
Yeah.
There is an exact time and location that is perfect to listen to every Milo song for me. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's my sun worshiper. That's riding your bike at dusk in the summertime when it's really hot.
Yep, agree. That's why I wrote that.
Something worth noting on, and like you know, you get these interesting interpolated like clips of a guy talking about how he overcame drug addiction. So the music itself, though, it comes from a you're gonna love this.
Oh boy!
It comes from basically the most French thing ever. We go from the most Scottish guy ever to the most French thing ever. A dude named Maxime Le Forestier. It's a song of his from the 1970s called "Si tu étais né en mai," which means if you were born in May. And the loop of the song is literally just the first 5 or 6 seconds of this song. And then he kind of adds a beat to it and a couple of other things later on. But he literally just loops the first 5 or 6 seconds of this Maxime Le Forestier song. Now, the vocal sample, I thought this was super interesting. In the liner notes, this is exactly what it says. Vocal sample comes from an unknown source. While every effort has been made to find the copyright holder of the vocal sample, it has been so far impossible to locate them. We are continuing to search for the originator of this vocal and would welcome any information.
I'm sorry. Have they enlisted the FBI?
He should have called us. Yeah. I have no idea where this vocal sample came from. Obviously, if the dude who made the record himself didn't know, I don't know that I have much hope. But
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. The question to me is then where did he find it?
Yeah, I feel like that's where you start.
Right.
Maybe he wants
But, you know, this is how, like, guys who make music like this, they have big sample libraries, right? Yeah. And anytime they hear something that's cool that they can, like, grab and then hold it in an audio file, and they're like, oh, I can put this in a song. That's what they do. They just build giant sample libraries. So who knows where he found that audio.
That's so cool.
But it works perfectly for the song.
Yeah, it is great. Great.
I'm on my bicycle. Well, just to solve all my problems, to get out of drugs, I'd had enough of that. I'd had the college. I'd had the earning the money and the material trip. I just decided I was going to find a new way of life. And so I took off on my bicycle.
Good old muscle cars.
That's... Yeah.
I feel like this is like one of the ones that you're into.
I'm into it. It's not one of my favorites. It never has been. But I like it. I enjoy listening to it. It's more upbeat.
One of the more French sounding ones.
I really
to me.
Liked this like when I was younger. I liked this one a lot.
A few of them sound super French to me, and this is one of them.
Like when I first started listening to this, I thought he was French. Like that's what I thought.
Right, yeah, same.
And I could totally see why. But yeah, it's yeah, I like this song. It's more upbeat, but it's still mood sense. But it's not one of my favorites. But I don't turn it over if it comes on. I don't hit skip.
There is also a version later down in the US version of the CD of this track that is just called Muscle Car, two words. Hit the first version is Muscle Cars, all one word.
Yeah, he ran this out of good titles.
This one is singular, Muscle Car, but it's the same song, but it's featuring a group called Freeform 5, and this version just has some vocals on it.
Ah, interesting.
So, there you go. And it's like, do you remember Electro Clash? Do you remember like Absolutely. When Electro Clash, that version is like very Electro Clash.
Okay. I never could quite pin down Electro Clash. I couldn't figure out if I liked it or not.
It's like gritty.
Yeah.
Gritty dance pop music that always kind of has to be like gross or dark in some way.
Yeah.
Usually, maybe not always, but.
Just have to make it sound a little.
It's a little
bit,
dissonant.
You don't want it to sound pretty. If it sounds too pretty, just like.
We should do an Electroclash episode.
Do a distortion in the background, and then you got Electroclash, and I'm like, I can't ever.
I got a lot to say about Electroclash.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, boy. So here we get to Drop the Pressure. Which
has changed my life. I still remember the first time I heard this song.
I mean, I think this was probably the first Milo song most people heard, right?
Yeah, I heard it
because when you're
fall of 2005,
right?
When used to stream British
when you're
radio.
In college, and it's like, oh, teehee, he says fuck a lot in this song. Like, I mean, because the only words to the song, spoiler alert, are motherfucker's gonna drop the pressure, and then he says motherfucker's gonna drop the pressure, and then it's motherfucker on and on.
The best.
And I remember again when we got the promotional copy of this and there was like a clean version and I'm like, how in the hell? And I play it and have you ever heard the clean version?
Not in years. I remember being silly.
Wanna take a guess?
Mother Trucker.
Yep. Mother Trucker's okay. Gonna drop the pressure. Yep. Mother Trucker.
On and on. Still works actually.
Yeah, it really does. dude, it's so good. I mean, aside from the goofiness of the profanity, like once you get past that novelty, like it's actually such a good song.
It was a great dance song. It was different. And it was just like, I don't know, it changed the way I listened to stuff.
Wow.
Like it opened me up to a lot of that Euro stuff that was happening in like 2005, 2006. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I was about to study abroad. It came in very handy because the song was everywhere when I was there. And
yes.
Lots of things that were ponying off the back of it. So yeah, I will never forget the first time I heard this song because I was like, what is this more? I need more. It's so good.
I absolutely love In My Arms.
My favorite.
Now, do you prefer the original version or the popular computer remix?
I prefer the original, but the computer remix is very cool.
Interesting.
I prefer the original.
So I'm going to play a clip of both. But they both sample Kim Carnes, Betty Davis Eyes, and they pull the vocal track from Boy Meets Girl's Waiting for a Star to Fall.
Which I did not know that song before this song.
Really?
This is what made me discover that song.
Oh, well, Milo deserves all your praise for that alone.
Exactly. Yeah, it was very eye-opening, and it's by far my favorite. The one I danced to the most at clubs in Paris.
I slightly prefer the remix that Popular Computer did, just because I like the synth layering and how they do the Betty Davis Eyes motif on it a little better. But yeah, they're both great. The original version is just a bit more muted. But yeah, this is a beautiful song. This one might actually be my favorite on the album.
I can see that from you.
It is called Guilty of Love.
Guilty.
And it samples the George Duke song Guilty, which is a very cool song. And also, I mean, it's not listed in the liner notes, but there's a little bit of Prince's Kiss in there, right?
It sounds that way to me. I don't know if officially it is.
No, there's I mean, it's not listed as an official sample, but I hear Kiss by Prince in this song.
I'm actually interested in later if there's like one thing that's an actual real sample or if it's just something he's made to sound like something. So maybe that's what it is.
If it's not a direct sample, it was definitely like inspired by.
Okay.
I see no way that there isn't. But yeah, this is great. So it starts on this kind of like synth flourish. And I always kind of picture like two dancers like sort of spinning around with each other. And then there's like this moment of static at like there's a buildup of the synth. And then there's this moment of static. And then the song just goes in a completely different direction. And it's great and totally works.
It switches up. I like the switch up. Like, for me, it would be mediocre if it didn't have to switch up. Like, I would just be like, this sure. is fine, this is fine. But like the switch up, I'm like, okay, I respect this now.
Right.
I'm into it.
Paris 400, another one of the undeniably very French songs on this CD.
And, super.
And not just because it's called Paris 400. I mean, oh, he knows, he knew what he was doing. That's why he called it Paris 400. Mm-hmm. This is a good driving song, I think.
Absolutely.
You think so too?
I'm assuming Paris 400 has to do with like some sort of Grand Prix race because they have those. They're could super be. Into it. Don't get it.
They are super into
so,
it.
So right. like it always just seemed like it was referencing that. I have nothing official, but I've just lived my whole life thinking that it references that kind of a thing. And it does sound like a good driving song. It's always one of my fave album cuts from this, but it's like it's upbeat, but it's not like too crazy. Like it's not like a super dance song, but it's upbeat mood synth. Like I'm gonna enjoy it every time I hear it. I like it.
I discovered a new song in the researching of the samples on this. I never knew where this sample was, and this is one of the ones I had to dig up. It is from a 1989 track by a group called Duxx, which is Duxx. Featuring Nicky Carter, who I only know from doing the vocals on the Natural Selection song Do Anything from 1990. Yes. And the song is called Yes, You Got Her, Keep On Pushing Harder. That's the name of the track. And it's one of only like two or three singles that this Duxx group ever released.
Interesting. That's going to be a future episode.
Yes. They didn't even have an album.
Duxx Goose.
Yes, but that, I'm glad that cleared it up for me because the little vocal that pops in here, my brain had always processed the vocal track as make a dirty phone call. That's what it sounds like she's saying over and over again.
There are a lot of these I don't exactly know what the person's saying. And like, yeah, for a long time I didn't really get motherfuckers gonna drop the pressure either. I'm gonna be quite honest. I was just like,
that's the clearest one.
I know, I'm an idiot. But I think I figured it out like a year in. But, and then I was like, oh, that's a bad song. I've been playing that for my mom. Yeah.
And your mom knew. Dirty girl.
I'm going to be honest, she probably didn't.
All right, so Destroy Rock and Roll. This was my best discovery when I was digging through these samples. So let me tell you, I had always, for whatever reason, assumed that this was Milo.
Yeah,
that this was just him reading a list of, you know, these 80s artists that he liked and was sampling in here, right?
Yeah, he's just...
Nope. This is actually from a record that was released by a group called Church Universal and Triumphant. And it is a spoken word audio track called Invocation for Judgment Against Destruction of Rock Music.
Oh, so this is like a Jesus-y group who's like, I would like to destroy rock and
yes,
roll.
Yes, this is literally an actual Jesus guy screaming about how he wants all of these artists to be destroyed
by God. I need
this
album. I need it.
And so all the bizarre pronunciations you hear like Cindy Looper... It's literally just this preacher guy who doesn't know who any of these people actually are and is just wishing them death anyway. Because well, and
this is everything I've ever wanted.
I had every reason to think this was Milo because what person is going to sit down and read a list and go Huey Lewis in the News, David Bowie, Apollonia 6?
I just thought he was being super Scottish because he can't say anything,
exactly.
Right?
No, this is literally some American dude talking about David Bowie and Apollonia 6 and Cindy Looper.
I did agree with the Apollonia 6 part. I've always, we know my thoughts on Apollonia.
Team Vanity.
Like, I hadn't listened to this in years. And we're like, you know, I'm sitting there, like, had in the background, and we were doing show prep, and I'm like, working. He's like, Destroy Apollonia 6. I'm like, hell yeah.
You're like, all right, you know what, Jesus guy? I'm with you on that
what
one.
What church is this? I'm in. ZZ Top, Paul McCartney, and Michael Jackson. Cindy Looper.
big country. Morris Day and the Time. John Lennon. Apollonia 6. REO Speedwagon. David Gilmour.
I do want to play one little piece of it because there's one artist name that I can't catch. It's the one that sounds like sirens. You'll hear it in a few words, but I can't figure out who he's talking about. So see what you got here. It's right after he says U2.
U2, Sirens, Fleetwood Mac, the Alan Parsons
Project. Who is that?
Sirens.
Because I looked up, I was like, is there a group called Sirens? And he's being Sirens. Sirens. I got nothing. I was trying to like misspell that in my head. Sirens. I got nothing.
Sirens.
Oh, no. Whatever.
FBI. I'm on it.
Destroy you, Jesus guy.
Yeah. Fuck Sirens.
Yeah, fuck Sirens.
Yeah, you're right.
No, not fuck Sirens. Fuck you. I actually really love this one a lot, too. Ricky. This one is just like this crazy... The vocal sample is all over the place on this one, and I just love it. It does so much for me.
It, like, whoever put this on YouTube, or at least the link that we're using, has, like, dank dubstep on it or something. And I'm like, is this dank dubstep? But also, it kind of, like,
this person
it is
has
a little dubsteppy because it's manic as shit, and it's, like, cutting off.
It is manic. It is definitely not dubstep in any sense of the word.
I know, but I like anything that's dank dubstep.
The sample, oddly enough, on this is also where he got the title of the song, because I always wondered why this was called Ricky. It samples the song Living It Up by Ricky Lee Jones.
Interesting.
Which is where he got the name of the song.
Okay. Yeah. This is one that I didn't really like back then when this was out and I was listening to it. I didn't really like this song. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm at a place where I enjoy this.
I kind of want this to be like the theme music for like a Nickelodeon show about like, you know, a little character, like a little groundhog or something named Ricky. It would be really perfect for that.
Aw, you should do that.
Otto's Journey. This was one of my early most repeated songs on this. Again, I go very video gamey on this. I think about it like a little video game, like a really early like 3D game, like a Nintendo 64, like something you would have played on like the first Apple IMAX, like that era of 3D. And I always envision the character of Otto as an ant for some reason. I don't know where I'm getting that, but I see Otto's Journey as like you're an ant and you have to make your way through all the
I like it a lot. All the
little perils of the world around you.
This just sounds like a Basement Jax song to me.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is not an insult. Basement Jax, still one of my favorite things ever in the whole world. I sometimes forget about Basement Jax, and then I go back and listen to it. I'm like, God, this is still great. Anyway, this sounds like
the only image I can get with Basement Jax is the when they used Red Alert in that Coke commercial, and there's a dude just like breaking it down next to a campfire. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I love Basement Jax still. If you want to ever go back and listen to Basement Jax, be like, does this hold up? And you would be like, hell yeah, it does.
That would be a good episode.
Anyway, this to me sounds like Basement Jax, who was also huge right at the same time in the UK.
I will accept that.
It makes sense. I love it.
Xenophile. This one is one of the kind of more down-tempo tracks. It stays very down-tempo, mid-tempo, and then this really cool like Spanish guitar comes in.
Mm-hmm. It's a weird
like,
little song.
Whoa. And then it kind of goes crazy and goes into this weird dissonant ending where it's like this boom, 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 boom with this other little synth noise that he uses, and I love it. I love it.
It's very good. It's very mood synth to me.
It's a Dusty Springfield sample on this one.
I'm not surprised.
Dusty Springfield's Where Am I Going?
Good question.
Yeah. Where are we going? We're going on Otto's Journey, I guess.
We're going a lot of places in this episode, I'll tell you.
Also,
that.
Xenophile. I'm not familiar with xenophile. Is that word? Because if you're xenophobic, that means you're afraid of like
maybe,
things that are not you. So if you're
love,
if you're xenophilic, does that mean you're just like only attracted to The yeah, other?
That's what I've always thought. Oh. And then he just made it a Z instead of an X.
Instead of an X, yeah, I guess.
Which maybe might be how they do it in Scotland. Or maybe is that a weird thing they do?
Maybe he's just really into Zenith tube televisions.
Man, we all have our kinks, don't we?
Crack the case.
There you go.
Need You Tonight.
I love a sexy synth.
Yes.
That's my kind of mood. This is probably my favorite of the album cuts.
So the beginning little vocal sample on this, I never knew. Again, this was one of the ones I never knew the sample. From some European song from the late 70s by a lady named Judy Dzuke. Never heard of her, but the song's called Stay With Me Till Dawn. And that's where he, like the little flourish you hear right as the song's coming in. That's Judy singing.
Okay, so that's where the vocal thing comes from. Mm-hmm. I like it. That's very cool.
Yeah, this is just a very nice, soft love song.
I know. I like it a lot.
So Emotion 98.6, this is my other, along with Sun Worshipper, this is my other driving around / riding your bike on a, like right at dusk in summertime.
It sounds like Emotion. It's so mood. It's so mood.
It's perfect. This one's like a little bit later in the night, I guess. This is like, because right at the beginning, like that synth, it feels like the sun setting.
Uh-huh.
And then now like we're driving around and it's nighttime in the city. And then like you would lead from this into like Paris 400 or Muscle Car.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is such like a, it's a good little like sweet, happy sounding song without it being like too dancey. It's just very like pleasant. Yes. It's so pleasant.
It is very pleasant.
It's great.
I always thought that this was a sample, but it's best I can tell it is not. This is just his own production.
Also, I never thought about it, but Emotion 98.6, it sounds like a radio station. Like
yeah.
Listening to Emotion 98.6.
It's funny that you came at it from that angle, maybe because I was like, my entire background is radio.
I just thought about it.
No, how had you processed the title before? Were you thinking 98.6 is like the normal temperature for humans?
Originally, yes.
That's funny because that angle of it had not occurred to me until I was writing this out, because I was always thinking of it as a radio station called Emotion 98.6.
Yeah, I never thought about it. That's very weird. This is why we have two people on this show.
There you
because
go.
We're like, temperature radio.
Exactly. Oh, good old soft rock.
You've never said that before in your life.
I feel like this is kind of his homage to like soft rock songs of the 80s that had guitar. You always talk about
Absolutely.
Songs that have guitar for no reason.
Uh-huh.
There's no reason for the guitar to be there.
We ain't need it.
Here's a perfect example of one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is this an official sample of Another One Bites the Dust? Or is he just taking, it sounds like he's got the bass line of Another One Bites the Dust, but he took out parts of it. So it's just like, bump, bump, bump.
That's interesting.
To me, it sounds so much like
Another One Bites the Dust. No, that's not listed in the official samples. The official sample, of course, as the count-in in the beginning is Starship's Never Gonna Stop Us Now, or Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now, rather. That's the little Tom's flourish that counts into the song. Another One Bites the Dust had not occurred to me. That is very interesting.
It just seems like parts of the... Like, it's not the whole bass line. It's like he just spliced out parts of it and was just like, here it is. And I'm like, huh. Like, it just has that air to me. I was just wondering if that was an official sample or not, or if he just made it sound,
it's not,
seem like
but
that.
You have cracked the case.
We've been doing that a lot today. If he would just explain things, we wouldn't have to. ¶¶
finally, good old Dr. Pressure. This is why I say it was worth finding the U.S. version of this CD, so you get good old Dr. Pressure.
I never dance in clubs anymore, but I did back in late 2006 a lot. This is probably the song I've danced to the most in bars because I was in Paris and this was everywhere.
So as you will hear when this clip rolls in a minute, this is just a Drop the Pressure, but it's a mashup.
Mashup City.
With Dr. Beats by Miami Sound Machine, which might be the best Miami Sound Machine song.
I'm going to be honest, this ruined Dr. Beat for me because sometimes I hear Dr. Beat and I'm like, but...
And you're like,
we're
this
missing
is,
something.
Right. Yeah. And you're like, this is not Dr. Pressure.
Sorry, this song is incomplete.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, so this is interesting. We actually have some breaking news during recording, which does not happen ever doing a podcast. Well, I had written down that we have no idea where the hell Milo is now. Let me give you the information that I did have. So Milo, of course, after releasing this one and only album, blew up in Europe. Europe loved him because Europe loves dance music. And so he got to do all sorts of remixes, right? So he did remixes for the Scissor Sisters. He did it for Amy Winehouse, Kylie Minogue, all these people who were like super big at the time. They all wanted Milo to remix their tracks, which he did. So you can find numerous like Milo remixes out there. But he still has never put out a second album. So I went to go look this up because at one time or another, Destroy Rock and Roll had been listed on Spotify, and I wanted to see because I remembered like half the tracks were grayed out and you couldn't listen to them. So I was going to go look at that to relay that information. And lo and behold, I find that Destroy Rock and Roll is not there. However, there appears to be a new Milo track that he did with Louis LaRoche, and it is called Lovers. And we just listened to a little bit of it, and it is quite awesome.
We had fun.
So go check that out. It appears to be on his official Spotify page, so I have no reason to believe that that's not the same Milo, but it's called Lovers, and it's by Louis LaRoche and Milo is who it's credited to. Huh. Not like featuring a remix or anything. It's credited to Louis LaRoche and Milo. So there you go.
That's very cool.
Milo's got some new music for you to go check out. That is not? Very exciting.
That is super cool.
So anyway, I'm off to go buy that track because I want to listen to it about 500 times before the end of this day. And while I'm doing that, I suppose you could listen to old episodes of our podcast while you're not listening to Milo.
We do. We have so many of them.
I assume you're going to be wanting to listen to Milo also. But yes, please listen to old episodes of our podcast. You can find it on our website, which is offbeattrackscast.com.
And if you want to get in touch with us, we're on Twitter. We're on the Twitter machine. They haven't shadow banned us yet at Offbeat Tracks.
Yes, and thank you very much for some... We've gotten some really, really nice emails and messages and things lately from folks who are listening to us. So thank you so much, really, from the bottom of our hearts. That really means a lot that you listen to our show and you like it.
Very
and
nice.
That you send us comments about it. So we very much appreciate that. And we'll be back with one of our list episodes, our Superlatives episodes, next time.
Absolutely.
So until then, see ya.
Bye.